while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
How was Christmas? Was it good? Those of you who are watching online, those of you who are listening online, how was Christmas? Was it good? That's the question that I want to just pose in this particular moment. How was it? Was it good? I trust that it was. I trust that you had a good time yesterday, whether you were on your own, with family, with loved ones. How was Christmas? Was it good? What makes Christmas good? I think sometimes we you know, in the middle of all the fun and the festivities and everything else, I have control. Yeah, in the middle of all the fun and the festivities, it's easy to focus on that and not think about the things that make Christmas special for us. And I trust that yesterday, in one way or another, there was something special. Whether you were on your own, as I know, I spoke with someone today who celebrated, I suppose, on his own, or whether you had a house full of people, or I think Pastor Jasmine, I think there's probably two or three of you in the house, not many of you together yesterday. And I trust that you are doing well. In our house, in the Ayerinde household, there was plenty of food, there was fun, there was fellowship, and there was noise. I have to say, there was a lot of noise yesterday at some point. Yes, and of course, after all the cooking, like Pastor Jasmine has done, and the eating and the laughing, we had lots of telling of Christmas jokes. The jokes that came out of the Christmas crackers. And then after all of that, I then went and I sat in front of the TV, and guess what happened? I started examining the inside of my eyelids for some time as I closed my eyes without realizing. And you know, we missed the Queen's speech. I missed the Queen's speech. She mentioned Jesus. Thank you for that. Listen, you're supposed to have a nap after Christmas food. How many of you agree with me? You're supposed to have a nap. It's in the book. Yeah, noise or no noise. So, it was great. And honestly, I wouldn't change it for anything. After all, it's Christmas, right? It's Christmas. So what does Christmas mean? There was a time when Christmas was about the day, then it became about the season, and you know, the season we knew was from the beginning of Advent right through to the new year. As I said a few weeks ago, Christmas now is not just a day. Christmas is a whole, Christmas starts from October and runs till January. Christmas is like, oh, the whole Christmas. You see the adverts around about that time, don't you? So when we hear the word, you know, when we think about Christmas, what does it mean? What is Christmas? Well, today's sermon is entitled What Christmas Is. And if you Google it, if you search Google, you'll eventually come across a song that's entitled Christmas Is. It's written by a man called Percy Faith. If you look at the lyrics of the song, Percy Faith, he writes about how Christmas is sleigh bells, Christmas is tinsel, Christmas is sharing, Christmas is holly, Christmas is caring. And a little bit like I was describing about the Ayerinde residents, what happened in our house yesterday. Yes, Christmas is kind of like that in some ways. And what he did was he used the song to capture the feelings, the sights, the sounds of Christmas. Yeah. The sounds, the feelings of Christmas. And for many people, that's what Christmas is. It's the feelings, it's the sounds. And I'm sure most of us will agree that part of defining Christmas is defining the experience of Christmas. However, Christmas is about much more than just sharing our warm emotions, warm memories, warm experiences. It's more than the nice adverts. It's more than the gifts that we give to people in this period. Christmas is much more about what God gives to us and what He has already given to us through Christ. It is about what He has already, what He is, and what He is still giving us today. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jasmine and I were privileged to take a school assembly at Harris Primary Academy. At the assembly, we talked to the children about how Christmas is about gift giving. And we sort of helped them understand or to see that the first Christmas gift was in the form of baby Jesus. Jesus was the first Christmas gift ever. Okay, I know some theologians listening to this are going to be saying, well, you know, what's your scriptural basis for saying Jesus was a Christmas gift? But don't worry about that. For those of you who are happy to take the approach when it comes to talking to children, I'm sure you understand what we meant by that. So yes, Christmas is about giving, because it was at Christmas time that the world received the gift of Christ as a baby. And as such, Christmas is also about God's faithfulness that has been made tangible throughout history. It's about how God has touched our lives, touched us, changed us with His love. Christmas is many things, of course, that I've talked about now. As I said, the experience, the feeling, the fellowship. It's about the memories, about the history, it's about the gift giving, it's about what God has done. But I want to talk simply, in the next few minutes, I want to tell you that Christmas is two things. I want to pull on two things that Christmas is. Number one, Christmas is for people who have nothing. People who have nothing. And at the same time, Christmas is for people who need everything. I'll say it again. Christmas is for people who have nothing, and Christmas is for people who need everything. If you think about our text today, it's taken from Isaiah 52. And Isaiah 52, this particular text, is actually a greeting from God. It's God's Christmas greeting. 2,500, nearly 2,500 years ago, thereabouts. God sent this greeting to His people. Think about it. 2,500 years ago, He sent this greeting. And then about 600 years ago, God's people were taken into captivity in Babylon. Often we talk about how God's people was taken into captivity in Babylon. I just really want to touch on something. Yes, they were taken into captivity in Babylon, but not everybody was gone. There was a remnant. There were still some people left behind in Jerusalem. Okay? So God's people were in captivity, but there was a remnant. There was a minority in Jerusalem. So when God sent this greeting that we read about in Isaiah 52, it was a greeting to the Jewish people in Babylon, as well as to the remnants, those who were left behind in Jerusalem. So I just wanted to understand the picture, understand a little bit of the background, a little bit about the history of what's going on. I want you to imagine the mindset of these people. It wouldn't have mattered whether they were dragged off into captivity in Babylon or whether they'd left behind in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was in ruins. Which would have been better, to stay in your home absolutely ruined or carried off into captivity in a place where the houses had been built up? So it didn't really matter to them. For them, as Jewish people, as God's people, it felt as if their world was out of control. They couldn't control what was going on in the world around them. Their homeland, Israel, the place that was part of the covenant, God's covenant with Abraham, had been taken over. It had been destroyed. Their worship life was a mess. They couldn't go to the temple. The temple itself had been destroyed. They couldn't offer their sacrifices as they usually would. Things were difficult, as it were. They couldn't go to church. Think about how it is for us today. These people were coming from a place of brokenness in many respects and a place of nothingness in many respects. And it is from that place that they would have cried to God. Now, of course, they knew God's promises. They knew God's promises to Adam and Eve. They knew about God's promises, God's covenant with Abraham. They knew about God's covenant with David. They would have been looking at their lives and saying, Lord, when is this going to end? This just doesn't feel like normal life. When is this going to end, Lord? And when it ends, is this how it's going to end? With us being a shadow of our former selves? It ends with us compromising. It ends with us just managing to, in Nigeria, we say you're managing to manage. Where you're just accepting any little thing that's brought before you. Anything goes. And they would have been asking themselves that question. Maybe that's the question some of us here and those of us watching and listening have been asking in our own hearts. Maybe you've taken a beating, a battering, a bashing in certain areas of your life this year. And you're asking, Lord, is this how things are supposed to end? I want to tell you the answer to that question is no. This is not how it's supposed to end for you. No, absolutely not. God is faithful. And he sent a greeting. He sent good tidings. Those good tidings were good tidings of hope. He sent that greeting to these people. Look at verse 7, the first verse that was read. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, to proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Who says to Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, your God reigns. No matter what you're facing, no matter what the difficulty, your God reigns. The decisions before you, your God reigns. Our great God, the God of faithful love, the God of mercy, came to these tired, lonely people with a message of good news, a message that says, your God reigns. And in doing so, God was reminding them that he wasn't on furlough. He's reminding them he's not on lockdown. He hasn't popped out of the room, as I often like to say. He was reminding them that he wasn't in isolation. He was still God over their lives. Fully God over their lives. And shortly after that point, he made it possible for those exiles to return to Jerusalem. And in doing so, when they were returning, the messengers ran ahead from Babylon to Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news. The messengers would have said, gone to Jerusalem, say, hey, they're coming back. They're coming home. Mom and dad are coming home. Our parents are coming home. The family is going to be reunited. The messengers would have gone to tell them. No wonder that phrase is there. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Because they brought good news. And you see, we too can relate to this Christmas greeting. Because we too, in some regards, are a people that have nothing. Because no matter what your present situation may look like, no matter how much we think we have, every single one of us, when we stand before God, we see that our wrongdoing and our sins are the cause for our exile. When we stand before God, we see that God has a reason to cast us out of his presence. We're not perfect. Not at all. He has a reason through our sin to send us away from his goodness. Look at Adam and Eve. These guys turned their backs. They knew that they had the complete and wholesome peace that was theirs in paradise. Complete and wholesome peace that was theirs in the Garden of Eden. Yet they turned their backs on it. Similarly, because of what they did, we now lack peace because of what they did. And in fact, if we think about it, our own sin, our own wrongdoing, actually, because of our own wrongdoing, we don't deserve peace when we do wrong things in and of ourselves. If we are truly honest, if we're really, truly honest with ourselves, we know that even the little blessing that God gives us, in our own doing, we don't deserve them. In our own doing, we don't deserve the protection that we enjoy. In our own doing, we don't deserve the provision, the homes, the families, the joy. In our own doing, we don't deserve this stuff. the livelihoods, our jobs, the money that we have to spend in our own doing, we don't. We can't deserve it. Let's be honest here. In our own doing, we don't deserve to be in a wonderful church like this. In our own doing, we don't deserve God or God's message of hope because we haven't been faithful in many respects. On a human level, the truth of it is that we deserve to be exiled to sin. We deserve to be exiled forever. And so in that regard, we too are a people who have nothing. Of course, we have the tinsel, we have the toys, we have the gifts, we have the presents, we have the lights, the Christmas lights. Of course, we have the things that provide temporary pleasure. We have the nice car, we have the nice house, the big TV in the living room. Of course. And our heads might think that those things are enough. You know, it's enough for us to hear Christmas carols and Christmas music on PHBC radio. It's enough to hear that. It's enough to walk down the streets and see the place beautified with all the Christmas lights on a winter evening. It's enough for us to eat all that wonderful food and, you know. But you know as well as I do that that is not enough. Those things cannot fill. They can fill our bellies. They can fill our bellies. They can convince us things are good. But they can never fill our hearts with eternal peace. Those things could never do that. So today, as we think about what Christmas is, let's remember that Christmas is also the season, like Pastor Jasmine was saying, it's also the time when people feel depressed. It's a time where people feel alone. Christmas is the time where many miss their loved ones the most, those who have passed away, or those who they're estranged from. Of course, we have to agree the music and the lights of the season are good, but they can never keep peace in our hearts. And that's not what Christmas is about. You see, Christmas is for people who have nothing, as I said. And we must see that Christmas is nothing, and Christmas will continue to be nothing unless we receive God's good news for ourselves. So, as I said, Christmas is for people who have nothing, and I said it's for people who need everything. See, our great God, the God that was from the beginning, the God of all history, our powerful God, this God stepped into the world. He intervened for us. He made it possible for us to have peace, this eternal peace. Why? Because he sent us the Prince of Peace. Amen? He's given us, and he continues to give us, everything that we need. Messengers have come to us. The angels, the inward witness, the word of God has come to us. And these messengers are beautiful. Just as the Christmas angel that came to the shepherds that early morning, that, you know, announcing peace on earth. That was part of it. He didn't just announce, oh, unto you this day. No. Peace on earth was part of the greeting, part of the announcement that he made. And God has sent this greeting, this Christmas greeting to you and to you and to you watching online and to you listening to me right now. Peace on earth and mercy. Remember that Christmas carol? Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners. God and sinners reconciled. Did I do justice to that? And this is what Christmas is also about. That's what we need. God gives us what we need right here because we are people who need everything. He gives us a message of hope and love, and he gives us the ability to receive that message. So we have been given what we need. Think about it. God has delivered us from the bondage of sin. He's delivered us from the bondage of, well, the slavery that comes as a consequence of our sin. Isn't that the perfect gift? What more could we actually ask for? That is everything. Jesus, he gave us. Jesus, of course, is what... You know, the answer is always Jesus, right? When I was studying at Spurgeon's College, I don't know, Pastor Jasmine, if you had this as well, you know, they would ask a question and the tutors would always say, hey, wait, the answer is always Jesus. Yeah. So sometimes they would ask a question like, oh, you know, what time are we going for the lectures? We say, Jesus. So if you ever answered Jesus, they couldn't fault you, because they told us the answer is always Jesus. So what is Christmas? Jesus. Jesus is what Christmas is about. The re is the reason for the season. He's the Son of God, the Son of Mary. And he came to trade himself for us. In life and in death, he traded himself for us. He had every right to condemn us. He had every right to exile us. Yet, even without violating his own perfection, he found a way to forgive us. He found a way to pay the price. If you go to the church website, there's a banner there that says he paid a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. And he found a way to do that, to deliver us from the guilt of sin and the fear of death. He came to deliver us, and he came to not just deliver, in fact, he came to deliver us from, and he came to deliver us to. He came to deliver us from the fear of sin and death. He came to deliver us from the consequence of sin and death. But he came to deliver us to himself in relationship for all eternity. Because the word deliver connotes a direction. He didn't just deliver us from and leave us hanging. He delivered us to a relationship, eternity in him and with him. I mean, who doesn't want that? You see, Christmas is all about needy people and how God has supplied our needs. He has given us the best gift of all, our deliverance. In fact, I was looking at the text, and I was thinking about the text that we in Isaiah, and looking at how, you know, God has given us this gift. And I've noticed that God even unwrapped the gift. Yes, he unwrapped the gift for us. He took the wrapping paper off. Let me show you where it says so. You're thinking, what? God took the wrapping paper off in the text? Yes, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this. It says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of the nations. Okay. And all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. So first off, you can see he has given us what we need. Yeah, his holy arm. But he's laid it bare. He's rolled up his sleeve. He's showed his muscles. You know, he's sorting stuff out for us. And that's what I mean when I say he's unwrapped. You know, he's unwrapped. Yeah, he's unwrapped his holy arm in the sight of the nations. He's taken the wrapper off. He's rolled up his muscles, or rolled up his sleeves, and showed us his muscles. You know, I was thinking about this and talking about muscles. How many people remember Popeye? Popeye the Sailor Man, toot toot. Okay, you're showing your age now, because a lot of the young people are thinking, Popeye, isn't that like a chicken brand in America? Okay? Now, Popeye the Sailor Man in the cartoons, this guy always found himself, whenever every single episode, I was just thinking about it, you know, because I was thinking muscles, I want to, you know, how do we, Popeye, thinking about every episode of Popeye, no matter what he was doing, he got himself into trouble. Always got himself into trouble. And this other guy, what's his name? Bluto, I think. This guy would beat him up, beat him to within an inch of his life. And then what would Popeye do next? When Bluto was beating him up, what would he do? He'll pull out the spinach. And he would like, right, I'm going to eat some spinach. And as soon as he'd eaten the spinach, what would happen? His muscles would, and he would get as big as my muscles, you know? Yeah, listen, I keep telling you, how tall am I? 6'4", and full of muscles. When I look in the mirror, that's what I see. Don't tell me what you see, it doesn't matter. His muscles would grow, and when his muscles grew, his strength would be revealed. You would see it. All of a sudden, whatever he was wearing would pull up, and you would see the muscles. And that's what I thought about when I read that verse in Isaiah. And you know, sometimes when Popeye did that, when he revealed his muscles in the cartoons, they would change the shape of his muscles. Sometimes it'd be a battleship. Sometimes it'd be a hammer and an anvil, just to show you that, wow, my muscles are big and strong. I can whack things around. Now, of course, I'm not calling God Popeye, and I'm not calling Popeye God. But that's the way God has revealed his arm for you. When it says he's laid bare his arm, he's showing you that I can. I am the one that can do it for you. He's revealing the work, the strength that he has to work for you. Our Bible text in Isaiah tells us he demonstrates his strength. But not like a hammer and anvil, not like an army, not like a battleship, not even like a superhero. Do you know how God demonstrated his strength? He unwrapped his glorious might. He unwrapped all that might by allowing himself to be wrapped up as a small child. That's how he demonstrated his strength. Not using human ways, human methods, human approaches. He unwrapped himself, that might, and allowed himself to be wrapped as a small child in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. God laid bare his powerful arm and allowed himself to be clothed in flesh. He laid aside his majesty and revealed his splendor, his strength, by living, by dying, by rising again for you, for me. So, once again, we've heard the good news. We've heard the good tidings. We've heard the wonderful message of the angels. The messengers have come to our hearts and they've brought this news of deliverance. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from death, deliverance from evil. We've heard it again. And every time we hear the Christmas message, what we're hearing is God's good news. What we're hearing is that greeting, the good tidings of God, the hope. It's our assurance, it's our guarantee that we're not sentenced to live forever in a messed up world. In that town, Bethlehem, God came to assure his people, to give us a guarantee that he has a better life in store for us. A life forever in his presence. He has something we need, and it is ours. It's right there for us to take it. He has something we need, and that something will cover everything. So simply put, I want to remind you that Christmas is more than the holly. It's more than the tinsel, the food, the music, the fun, the festivities. It's more than even children's laughter, as beautiful as children's laughter is. Christmas is more than that. I want to remind you that Christmas is not for people who need nothing. Let me be clear. I didn't say it's for people who need nothing. I didn't say it's for people who want everything. Christmas is for people who have nothing. Christmas is for people who need everything. And so Christmas is God's good news, a greeting of peace to a world of sinners. It's the good news of great joy that will be for all people. And the good news tells us that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and he is Christ the Lord. That is what Christmas is.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.